ngicela uhambe uyofuna umsebenzi.
Uzoyithola kanjani hlelo khoneni?
Yonke into, impahla, imali.
This adulting thing, hey.
Uhamba imali?
Wizi nakai khoka challenge.
Awuna moto, imali. Fanele kube nemali phakathi.
Sebenza.
Sebenza. Sebenza.
Yeva mntanam.
Sebenza.
Welcome to another episode of Sebenza Lives Behind the Hustle. I am Tango Ndwasa and joined today by Ndozo M. How are you doing?
Good, thanks, and yourself?
I'm good, I'm good. Yes. And we have an amazing guest today. I'm really quite excited about today's topic. Jerry, how are you doing?
I'm very well and thanks for having me.
Good, good. Now, I always say, for those born under a rock or born yesterday and they have no clue who Jerry is or what Tebe Investment Group is, let's school them. Who is Jerry and what does he do?
Okay, my name is Jerry Mabena. Let's start there. I was born in Alex many years ago. I don't even remember. Grew up there and studied here in Joburg and some parts in the Eastern Cape. And then a few years ago, about 8 years or so, I joined an organization called Tebe, which is a wonderful organization. So if I can just say who Tebe is, it's a company that was started in 1992. If you'll recall what was going on in 1992, it was during the time of the transition. I think we had just had Nelson Mandela being released and then the CODESA conversations or negotiations were underway. And around that same time, I think people with greater vision than most of us today saw fit to start an organization that would support work of communities, but being a completely commercial and non-political company. So that's who Tebe is, and it was formed in 1992. And fast forward to 2019, Tebe is an organization that now has sort of assets that we look after of anything between 9 and 10 billion rands across a wide spectrum of investments, effectively. Starting with renewable energy, we have fossil fuel companies, we've got tourism businesses, media. So it straddles a number of fields.
Now, before we go into to what you guys do, let's start with a young Jerry. What was that like and what inspired you?
As a young Jerry? I can say that I was always one of those nerdish kids. So a bit of a bookworm. But always wanted to do good, help people. I mean, from when I was a kid, I was a bit of an activist in very many ways. So that informed the kind of work that I did later on in my life to such an extent that starting my career after graduating at Rhodes, I went and worked for an organization called Unilever. I'm sure you know Unilever.
Yes.
And when I left Unilever, it was really quite an interesting thing. I left because I was tired of corporate at a tender age of 24, 25.
That's quite young.
So ever since that time, I've had a love-hate relationship with corporate. So when I left there, I actually went and did some work with an organization that was doing redevelopment of schools, improving the culture of learning in schools during the reconstruction and development program. It was part of what they called back then the 2021 presidential lead projects for Nelson Mandela when he had just become president. So that really is what I did for a while. And obviously, as we fall in love and want to get married, you also start thinking that I can't do this and have a family. Then that's when I kind of went back into the commercial employment sector.
Sure. Wow.
Nice.
Now, I find it quite interesting. You know, it's something that's so relatable still to this day. When one decides it's time to leave corporate, this is not my space, what steps mentally did you take to sort of go, okay, this is what I'm going to do and this is how I'm going to get it done?
It was interesting. I mean, it was one of those things where I think the euphoria of the time, you couldn't miss it. You wanted to be some part of something bigger than you. And I think that's what really drives you at a certain point. So at that time, for me, it was really being part of something that was going to leave a legacy somewhere, however small. And the decisions was quite easy. I mean, I had to work with my former headmaster, believe it or not.
Wow.
I mean, who wants to work with their former headmaster? But it was somebody who ideologically I really admired his thinking. I really thought that he was very forward thinking, and to just kind of be working in that environment was for me quite a privilege more than anything else. Yeah.
Now you've had such a huge role in not only just Unilever. There was J. Walter Thompson as well. With all these companies, now you've got Tebe. What was that like, having such huge responsibilities?
Funny enough, I didn't see it that way. You know, when you're in the middle of it, I can think of the time when I was at Telkom. I was all of 28, running a department of about 30 people, and I was the youngest in the department.
Wow.
And I had like really, really hardcore Afrikaners in my department who were very conservative and struggling with the transition. So when you ask me what was it like, I think we were dealing with those issues, the issues of relevance in terms of as a black person in business, where you really almost had to work twice as hard just to kind of get that little recognition. So the funny part was, at the back of your head, you knew that it was part of the struggle. So you were not kind of walking into these things thinking that it's going to be given to you on a silver platter. So there was a sense that I've got to run twice as fast just to keep up with the other guy next to me who is white and privileged. So that's really what drove us at the time.
Now, let's look at Tebe Investment Group, and which is where you are.
Yes.
What is your responsibility there, and what really pushed you to go, this is definitely the next step I need to take in my career?
I won't tell you the politics of how I left my previous employer because I'll probably be kicked out of this building.
Wait.
But I think what was interesting was at that time, I was looking after a business that actually was Kagiso business in property. And a colleague of mine and I decided that, again, it was time to leave. And that time to leave was basically based on something that we wanted to do that the organization could not do at the time. And we felt that let's get out there and do it ourselves. So we went into the streets of Joburg. The guy's name is Ben. So we used to go around calling ourselves Ben and Jerry, not to be confused with ice cream. And it was around that same time that we made contact with our chairman, Mr. Vusi Kanyile. And I don't know if he took pity on us or he saw some possibilities or talent.
A soft spot with Ben and Jerry.
Yeah, he took us in, and we came in to really drive his property division. And in no time, he actually said to me, can you look after these other assets for us? And I looked at him and I said, I know nothing about media. I know nothing about tourism. I know nothing about financial services. And he says, we are here to help you. And that's basically how it came to be.
Now, what is the direction you're taking with this kind of a business? I mean, you're here with media, you've got tourism, you've got all these different facets in it.
I think the organization has grown significantly in the last 18 months to 24 months. So we tried to list about 2 years ago, but the market was just not what we would want it to be. So there is kind of a plan to really drive the business into being a conglomerate, so to speak, but focusing mostly on the services piece, which is kind of food and agri, which is a new area that we just really got into in the last couple of years, driving the growth of sectors such as the energy space and our involvement in some of the mining assets that we invested in. So those are really big growth areas. But as part of that, there's also a move in the organization to hive off certain of the non-core assets that are not going to form part of that new group, so which includes the tourism piece and a couple of other investments. So there's kind of the organization is at a place where it's redefining itself as well.
All right, we're going to take a small ad break. And when we go back, we're going to discuss the business of tourism. And this is something I'm very interested in. Because apparently there's lots of money in the country for it. So I'm quite excited.
Look forward to it.
We'll be right back.
The cryptocurrency revolution is a rabbit hole that goes deeper than just Bitcoin and blockchain. South Africa's revolutionary cryptocurrency investment platform, Revix, presents Beyond Bitcoin, your guide to the crypto future. Unpack the news, trends, and terminology live every Monday on The Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com. You can also download every episode on the Cliff Central app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back again, guys. Jerry, let's discuss Tebe Tourism, which is something I'm very interested in here. How did that portion of Tebe Investment Group start?
Again, I think Tebe at the time was really set up by people who were pioneering in many ways. So a few years after the setting up of Tebe, there was also a sense that being a black-owned firm at that time in South Africa, so there was a need for us to go into spaces that we were going to see as developing spaces for the black market going forward. So around the same time, I think we moved into financial services. And later on, I think there was a need to kind of move into the tourism space again. And that really was driven by, if you think about South Africa at the time, is that we were coming out of the whole sort of sanctioned space where we are now going to be an accepted member of the international community.
Mm.
So there was going to be a move of people taking South Africa seriously as a destination, as a place that they want to visit. So really those kind of factors and dynamics in the marketplace then informed the setting up of the business. And it hasn't been a bed of roses. I think people tend to think that you go into these businesses, you start something and then boom, it succeeds.
Open a BNB, you can do well.
I mean, we've made some mistakes. We've burned our fingers. We've done some really great work in some areas. So I think it's a combination of things that we've done over the last number of years. But I think the key thing for me has been that in the last 3 to 4 years, I think we've kind of recentered ourselves and relooked the strategy and really said to ourselves, you know, the point that you were alluding to of the business of tourism is that where is the business of tourism going to come from and what are the things that are going to be driving it going forward? And how can we be part of that particular narrative, but more than that, be part of the narrative that actually talks to tourism as an instrument for development? So it's not just about the commercial side of tourism. It's also about how do you use that particular medium of tourism as an instrument for development? And I think that's something that resonated very well with that sort of crazy activist in me, because now I could suddenly do something in a business environment that actually talks to something that I'm deeply passionate about.
Mm. And then looking at going back to the Waka Waka year that we had, 2010, a lot of people also started their own like tourism.
Oh, by the way, we lost a lot of money during that year.
Yes, I was about to go.
We lost plenty.
A lot of people went to that direction, changing their homes into B&Bs and starting small businesses and stuff like that. But then only to find out that some people were doing it just because they've heard that this year is going to be a great year, start something in tourism. But is the lack of knowledge the reason why people do not succeed in business? Or what can you say when you want to be in a tourism space? That kind of things that you need to know to stay in there, because it's a changing environment all the time. You know, you're not going to have the same guest all the time. You're not going to have the same season all the time.
Sure.
Tourism is about changing the environments all the time. Mm. So what would you say to people who really want to have like either their small businesses in tourism, or how can South African tourism be in an attractive way, not only just for the businesses themselves, but also for the people, you know, because to be honest, some of us, when we go home, literally, you know, like tourism, especially for, you know, the black majority is to go home to see your grandmother, to grandfather. And, you know, that's the kind of thing. But how can we find an attractive way to say that? Because South Africa is beautiful.
I'm glad
it's the most beautiful country.
Let me start on the 2010 thing that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
2010 was an interesting experience because I was not at Tebe at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember I was looking at a whole lot of tourism projects and initiatives. Now, for some reason, I had the, call it some intervention or whatever, because we were dealing with the FIFA guys. And I had a very good relationship with some of the senior FIFA people who were doing the accommodation deals and all those sort of things.
Mm.
And we were right in the thick of it. And my model was a simple one. I used to say to them that if you underwrite to give me a certain quantity of people, I will build whatever you want. Or if you want, I will actually put up a B&B. Or if you want, I'll put up a temporary structure for you for the World Cup. But once you commit, you commit. So what then happened was, I think, I forget the company's name that was a FIFA agent at the time. Once you committed, and they actually went and got the visitors to come in. And as soon as Gabelo cancels his visit, they come and cancel with me. So a lot of people committed on the back of the FIFA agent saying that we will have people coming. And when they didn't have the people coming, then they went back and cancelled. When they actually had booked to say to you, we will take your entire 10 beds, your entire 15 beds. And people renovated their houses and did all those things. And then the people didn't come in some instances. So they lost a lot of money. Now, back to your question now on how do we make tourism attractive to locals, but also as a sustainable business, particularly for the small and medium enterprises. That is something that I'm very passionate about, because tourism is a funny thing in that we always think of tourism as the bed or the hotel that you go to, but it's a whole lot of other things that are aligned to it. So there's an entire value chain that people forget. When you guys were in Kruger the other day, somebody took you on a drive around. That's a tourism business. That guy owns the truck, for instance, and he's a guide, and he learns about the animals, and then he tells you about the animals, about the trees, about the flora and the fauna. That's a job, that's a career, that's an opportunity. And then you take somebody who offers you the accommodation. We can talk about that. Then you talk about the person who cooks for you, the chef or the restaurateur or whatever the place you go to. There's another area of intervention. And then so it goes, right until you get to Gabelo, who owns a farm somewhere down the road, who then supplies tomatoes to the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's tourism moving into agriculture. It backward integrates. Now you want to go to visit Cape Town with your friends, but you don't want to travel by plane, or you don't want to drive yourselves. You go to a tour operator who actually gives you a chauffeur service, and they drive you and your friends to the Cape. We've done that with some of my friends once or twice. So you're getting now tourism moving into the traditional, call it close to the taxi sector or taxi type businesses, where you're actually now ferrying people around. So when we start thinking of tourism in that manner, suddenly you start seeing the big value chain. Now, the next level is when you start going to your grandmother in wherever, Polokwane or Mpumalanga or the Eastern Cape. One of the things that we don't do very well is to make what we call attractions that are in those places very accessible to the people. If you were to go around the Hazy View area, by way of an example, and ask the kids who are in schools, how many of them had been into the Kruger National Park when actually it's 10 minutes from their houses, you'll find that you'll get a very high number of people who haven't. So until we get them to start appreciating the fact that the Kruger National Park or whatever other area is actually for them as much as it is for us tourists, then you'll never kind of get the domestic market going. The young people such as yourselves are also looking for experiences. You don't just want to go and stand in a particular place, but you want to kind of immerse yourself in either the culture of the place, the experiences, or whatever it is. We need to start packaging those things so that you actually can engage with the product as much as you can, not just watch it from a distance. So, yeah, I think I'd be interested to know that if we were to do those sort of things, do you think they would actually make a difference?
Sure they will.
It's like, sure they will.
Why are you not sounding so convinced?
No, I'm saying the reason why, not that I'm not convinced, I am, but the... when it comes to value chain, I think there's still a lot of things that people still need to understand about the value chain. And we say, okay, if 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 does that. But as we have seen, a lot of people want to do what you have done, right? They become a competition rather than saying that, why can't we all stick together and create a value chain that can actually, that everybody can be a part of and write and make money out of it to grow the economy. But that's another thing that now we need to get away from, that if Tango has something, if Tango has a Gota shop, I cannot also have a Gota shop. I need to have something else. Even with now, like, bring back the land, I hope it will create like a proper value chain rather than everybody wanting to do the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah. Once we get that right, then South Africa will be a better place for all.
And I think to talk to that, tourism lends itself for that. Where, because most of our attractions are in basically in rural areas, When you talk about land issues, that's where the land issues are most prevalent.
Mm.
So it's not just about transferring the land. It's about then once you transfer it, how do you convert it into valuable land? And how do you create productivity out of the land using the medium of tourism?
True.
I think there's a huge scope there.
We could have this conversation all day. All day.
I need to get some visitors to visit South Africa.
So, which is my fear. Yeah. What else can people expect from Tebe Investment Group in the near future? What can we look out for, basically?
Other than you being screamed at by lions? I think there's two things that we are very excited about as new projects for us. I think one is the train hotel in Kruger, which is going to be opening in the new year in 2020. And then the other one is an organization, a company that we just bought recently, which is going to do pop-up hotels.
Mm.
So I think look out for that one because we want these things to pop up in the most unexpected places.
Mm.
I can't tell you where I want the Joburg one to pop up, but you will be surprised when you actually find out where I
can
want
you please
to.
Be in the East Rand for the East Rand people?
If you find us a good spot, we'll make it in the East.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have money.
That's what I want.
People
that's
will come.
What I want. Yeah, that's what
the core lady has money.
Yeah.
No, that sounds great to me. What words of advice would you give to young people out there who definitely also want to get into the business of tourism? If I can put it that way again.
I think, again, let's go back to the value chain.
Mm.
Find what you are passionate about. There are those who are passionate about the cooking bit.
Mm.
Listen, there are those who are passionate about keeping us clean and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
There are those who are passionate about driving us around. There are those who are passionate about service, where the front of office people. Find your place. I think there's enough for all of us.
Find your place, find your passion.
Mm.
I love that.
There's enough for all of us.
There's enough for all of us.
Mm.
Jerry, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you. Thank you for
the invitation. Really look forward to more of the stuff.
Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate that.
Sure thing.
Thank you.